to help me out. The code on the code from the mobile. I'm assuming that a number of that, a part, a significant part of that code came from the web, right? Gerald? Gerald, are you there?
Hello, hello.
Manager.
Yeah, so I was asking a question. The code that you used on the mobile, right? Did you copy some of it from the web? Hello?
Hello, on what part?
Like, are there parts of it that you copied?
Yes, the some of the async functions.
Okay. Interesting. So I'm going to show you guys some adjustments I'm making, or rather that I made. I have a question for you. Now, when you are doing your when you are doing your you know the stuff you're doing on your local storage, where you store your form on your local storage, how do you store the form that carry files? How do you store them? Are you get me?
Yes. I'm just getting the path, and I'm just saving the path on the local storage.
The part of the files.
Yes.
When you say you are saving the parts, oh, just the file path, the file path on local storage.
Yes.
Okay. So when you whether that's a good idea, I'm not particularly sure. Can you show me? So can you share your screen and show me where you're doing this?
Okay.
Evening, everyone. Sorry, I jumped into the conversation. I'll need to see the code you're using to do that. So first of all, I saw a that a deep copy function that you guys created. Well, there are a few concerns I have about that. Are you sharing your screen, Patrick? I'm Gerald.
Oh, wait.
Okay. You know, take your time and find it. Let me go. Let me ask. Okay, I'm Patrick for a report. Take your time and find it. I have a number of questions I want to ask around that process. Entirely, guys, I'm suspecting something that would have been terribly wrong, and that might explain why we're having file duplicates. But I wanted to prove your point first. So Patrick, can you give me a report?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me share my screen.
Okay.
For me, I've done two cards. Yeah, the first one is this one. The variants are not showing in the order. This one is reported by, I think, Dusty. Yeah. It's on ready for deployment now.
So, are you sure that this thing that are you sure that this thing you did or that you're doing did not affect the proposal? You saw the issues I raised on the proposal on the group chat, did you?
Yes, but I haven't. I think it's not yet on AE. My changes.
Okay.
And then the other one.
Because so
Go
yeah,
ahead.
go on, go on.
Yeah,
No,
the other
no,
one
don't
is
worry, finish.
the tracking the inventory and the proposal. This one is also requested by Dusty.
Is it completed?
Yes, this one. This, you can now see the stocks remaining on the proposal when it's accepted.
Okay.
And
Okay, that's fine.
currently I'm checking on the refactoring the item catalog CSV. I'm gonna move it to the front end.
Okay.
Yeah, for
Remember what we talked about?
For the upload, you're suggesting a temporary table, right?
Yeah.
My question is, how about the suppliers? Should I create also a temporary table for it?
So, well, you can use the same table. You know, so I don't know, you can use the same table and just expand the number of columns or something like that.
Yeah, I see. Yeah,
You know?
I can reuse
And then
the columns on the display.
the main thing is that once you have passed the front end, you can now, you know, it's a lot easier for you to just run your data from the back end or something like that.
Yes.
You know, so you can use a single column and then, you know, whatever you need to do to make it work, I don't know. Yeah. The main thing is that you are running that process within a transaction. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all for me.
All right, thanks, Patrick. Noah.
Hello. Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, go
Yes,
ahead. I can hear you.
I'm currently on mobile now. My electricity is currently fluctuating due to typhoon.
Okay,
So I
go
had
ahead.
to turn off my PC. So for me, so I already sent you the
Yeah,
proof
so
for
yeah,
the
it's right.
for the mobile and for the web. So I'm also trying to optimize the code. So because that it caused some mess on the on the code. So I will be optimizing it so it can be reusable. I also work on the a card reported by Grace yesterday. So it's about the updating of the license and the web app. So I already fixed the issue and also pushed it. Will be I will be doing the test on my test server. Sorry, the cause of the issue is when you upload, for example, if you want to update the license on subs and you will be downloading the JSON file, right? The license.json. So on when you want to update the license on the on your server, I mean on the server, on the web app, it's not updating. So I already fixed the issue. Also continuing on the front end. So I also like for example, like if some QAs if QAs have some like questions on subs, I'm also helping them like the workaround on the subs.
Okay, that's fine.
I have a question, but I forgot that. So sorry, I'll
Yeah, no
just send you a
problem.
message
When
later.
you remember,
Yeah.
that's fine.
I'm thinking of that question earlier when I woke up, but I already forgot. So I'll just if I get it again, I'll just message you. So I have a question with regards to the flow of the custom form, so on the V2 front end. So but I'll just send you a message if
That's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. I kind of like what you did on the layout on the mobile. I think the mobile looks pretty good, you know, without you cluttering the interface. I also showed it to Dusty, so he seems to be okay with it. Let's maybe change his mind later.
I'm also thinking of like a swipe gesture on the mobile part, but I'm still looking for a way how to do that. So like you didn't have to press the close button that is a, because on mobile it's not that good, I think. So a swipe gesture, swipe to left or swipe to right to delete the item for the tabs and pages.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, so let's make it a bit more creative. So it's not just like, yeah, that would be nice. And if, you know, just rearranging certain things kind of give the application a different feel. Obviously, eventually we'll change. We'll try to maybe figure out how to, what we can do about the team coloring and all that and icon, just to make it a bit nicer. For now.
As before, right? Like for example, if you logged out on the app and if you log in again, if we I think it's possible since the fix I created on the part where you when you refresh the recent pages are gone. So I'm saving it on a local storage. So maybe it can be possible. Like for example, if your login session is doesn't expire yet, so maybe we can have a validation on that also. That if the session is not not expired, the local storage for the views. For the pages will still be there. But then if you log out, all of the recent pages that you visited will be deleted or something like that.
Okay.
Yes. The part of the front end is more on a state management. So when I created that, I have some like references on the link I've sent you. So it's more on a on state management. So we will be saving all the routes that we are visited on a state management. So we can visit it again and can be also saved on the local storage for like future references. But if we delete the recent pages on the tabs or on the mobile, so it will be deleted on the list of the visited pages.
Okay, that's fine. Remember, so I think whatever you are doing, we need to expedite it quickly because we literally have 1 month.
We literally have one month to
build this application. Once I'm done with this mobile, I'm going to try to focus on it so that we can get it up to speed.
Okay, so I'll be sending you like the data structure of what I'm currently working on the custom.
Well, not yet because I still need to tidy up certain clients' expectations. So I know Raquel has sent me the schema before. I know. I have a few adjustments just to adopt, you know, for the multi-client functionality, and there are probably a lot number of other tables. There is probably a number of other pages you need to build to support the client creation process for us to even be able to create clients. So, in terms of the technicality,
it will be like a client-based application now on the V2.
Yes. In terms of the technicality of the logic, it's probably I'll leave that one to you guys to handle. I'll try to handle more of the client because you guys understand the business requirements a lot better. I will join you in the schema definition, you know, making sure that the schema is nice and on point. But as far as the implementation, we can do a review on that one periodically. But that's fine. Let's just get the interface, and I'm happy that you know you've made some progress on this.
For example, if you have like the plan for the client, so can Can you send me, like, for example, the data structure so I can create, like, a helper, a composable, so that I can prepare the request. Since on Vue 3, requests are, like, separate, on a separate file now, so it can be, like, reusable for other modules. So I can prepare those composable file to be for future use. Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I'll get you the schema. I think I designed some of the schemas in the past. I'll get you the one that I mentioned. Yeah. Okay, basically creating clients, copying clients, stuff. Kind of this stuff.
Okay, okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Yes. Raquel, I think that's all for me, though. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Noam. Raquel, can I get a report?
Okay. Let me share my screen. For my DAN cards, regarding the Laravel 10, I was able to fix the issue on the encountered by Gloan regarding the sending of confirmation proposal to the customer. So it has an error when attaching the proposal to the email. So I fixed the error regarding the email attachment. Also, we have an error when saving the PDF forms to the files and photos. I already fixed that. As well as Grace encountered some overlapping on the forms header on the Laravel 10 server, this one. I already made some changes with it also.
Hold on 1 minute. I want to be clear. This version, this Laravel 10 is running on the Google Cloud Storage, right?
Yes.
All the data content, all the files are not local.
Yeah.
Is there any file that has been stored locally?
I think only the, for my testing, only this one. The logo. Phone. The logo on this company setting. It is saved on
I mean, right? No, that's fine. I mean, like the file that the user uploads, like proposal that are generated, they're all going to the cloud, right?
Yes. As well as the forms files, it all's on all in the cloud. Also the email attachments on the nice. If you have email attachment, it's all in the cloud. But we didn't touch the bucket of the AE. We created another server for the testing. And then also currently for the Laravel 10, the QNAI and also Herman is looking on the experiencing lock timeout issue yesterday. So we're still debugging it. What causes the issue? The lock timeout of my SQL.
Lock timeout.
Yes.
Lock timeout.
Yes.
And why is that?
Sometimes on the login.
Are you using a higher version of PHP?
Yeah, we're using PHP 8.3.
Did you set the INI file, maybe the config on the INI file for the PHP or something?
Maybe Herman. Herman? I'm not the one who's setting that PHP.
Herman.
Yeah, we maybe updated the we increased the memory limit on the PHP INI file and the upload file size and the max post size.
What of the timeout, connection timeout size, time? The connection timeout. I don't know if it's on the INI file, you need to do it on the PHP settings, the connection string or whatever, the driver where you set up your PHP driver on your MySQL driver on PHP. Perhaps you need to set a connect a timeout, either a no limit timeout or increase that limit time.
I'm not sure with the default value, but I'm gonna check.
I think the default is usually like for MySQL, the default is usually 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Like for most of them, at least I know in all languages, I don't know about PHP, but. Maybe having a log timeout. But then again, I'm not sure why it takes that long. So just to log in, right?
Sure, yeah. actually the lock timeout is first experienced by Gloan when creating job schedules. I just can't remember the hard number of Gloan. And then when I'm testing it on the server, I couldn't log in, as well as Grace. We couldn't log in when she experienced the timeout. So actually we're looking at it on the queue. It's probably the culprit. So I made some changes on the queue, but when I testing it, it's not throwing an error, and I'm asking the QA so that we could test it simultaneously, because maybe we need to test it more than one person to trigger the lock timeout.
I remember that the command you can run show engine, okay. You know, DB status, I think, on the MySQL instance. Show okay, engine in the DB status. Yeah, if you run that on the instance, okay. It will show you the last error that occurred in the database, and it will also show you the list of, so if there is a lock timeout, to tell the table they were locked, you know, it will give you a full summary of the last event that occurred, tables that have been locked, tables that are still locked, and stuff like that. So if there is a lock timeout, if maybe there is a query, so usually it's possible that maybe there is a deadlock that is happening, maybe some kind of code is causing a deadlock, but then again I'm not sure why.
I have a question regarding the show initDB status. I ran it yesterday when we have the lock timeout error. I'm not really sure, because currently the transaction that is open is only the regarding the login. Is it possible that there are some database that causes the locking?
So it says record lock, 3 physical records, blah blah blah.
Because currently it only showing the Lara 10. Maybe because I ran it on the Lara 10
table. No, look at that MySQL table in use, 1 locked. 1 lock with 2 locks.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
You need to figure out the table that has been that update user set is first log in. Lock wait. So the question is, are you running this? Just trying to think. Well, not gap waiting. What do you mean by lock space page number 3 bit index primary table that uses transaction ID lock mode X locks record but not gap waiting? You can copy that line and put it on Google to find out what it means, because I think that's the problem. It says that you lock X records, X lock record but not gap waiting.
Okay, I will look
that at my, that line. Okay. Yeah, so there's probably something happening there that is causing the lock. I think it's more like a deadlock.
Okay.
I think it's more like a deadlock, so it might be probably with I don't know, maybe the queries, I don't know. Well, yeah, this thing can be very helpful to figure out what are credits going on and what records are being locked. And then you can tell, yeah, so you can just probably copy that line and Google it, and then you start following the trail.
Okay. I will do that.
So, but meanwhile, so Dusty said that the forms, if when you submit a form now on the web, is now going to that waiting, you know, that or what's that word that you chose? So you submit the form, but it does not upload the file. It will tell you queue in queue or whatever it is. So first of all, we need to do a full review, and that's what I was asking Gerard earlier on. I know, just my gut feeling tells me that the code base is quite significant for him to have written alone by himself. So it's very possible that a lot of the code that he used came from the version to the old, the web version, which means that a lot of all those asynchronous calls are still causing the same problems in the web. So, Gerald, at least now you know what to look out for. I'll need you to also do the same cleanup on the web. I don't know if you get what I mean.
Yes, yes.
Preliminary cleanup. We need to clean up all that code. That's one. Rakel, thanks. Do you have anything else? I've already shared you the issues. The one of the proposal.
I'm looking at it. The one that causes the issue is the assembly. I'm currently working on it, and then probably I'll try to finish the fixes within today, and then I'll ask a QA to test it on staging.
Okay, so if you can roll it out quickly, that would be nice, because I think Natalie needs it.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Dusty too also needs the forms. So if you guys can check out the form, we can't submit forms. I have a question to ask. Is there a query we can use? I know that the way the application is structured, you know, jobs and all that kind of stuff. Is there no query we can use when we run it? Maybe a dashboard where when you run it, we can see all the forms that we are across all the jobs, all the forms that we are most recently submitted. Is there any query like that without having to know the job ID? That's from the back end. We don't have anything like that from the front end.
On the front end, I think there's no page for that.
That would be nice to have. So the second one is that I made a request. So Gerald, that download log that we did, we'll have to advance it a bit. So I already put some of that detail. So first of all, we are going to convert it to something like report an issue. So basically, instead of you saying download log, so first of all, that your download log, it doesn't really work well. When I click on the download log, it just pops up a that share. But it's not actually downloading the file for me, it's just copying the content. So when I say paste, it's actually pasting the content for me. It's not actually copying the file. I don't know if you get what I mean.
Yes, yes.
So I'm thinking that might be an error, probably an oversight. So, but now what Dusty wants is that it should be able to show a pop-up where the person can attach a screenshot, put a brief description of the message, and then do a send. And then that send should send an email to probably an email address that we set up or something like that. And not only will it send an email, it will also attach that log file as part of that email and send. So that at that point, you get a snapshot. Just like the way Microsoft does to tell you report an issue. You know, where I send the log and all those dump and all those kind of stuff. So we'll need something like, we'll need to enhance it to have that feature.
Okay.
You know, but that is, something you can look at. But can you share your screen? Were you able to find what I asked?
Oh, yes, yes.
What you're looking for? Okay, can we see?
Let me share my screen.
Okay.
Can you see my screen now?
Yes.
So here I'm on the form. Whenever you choose files, it will save first on the file system on the cache directory.
Yeah, go on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I.
So when you save on the file system, then what happens?
It will return the path, and that path is what I will be going to save here on the storage, on the local storage. This upload path.
Use custom form helper. That's what they are storing on the local storage.
Yes. Hold on. Yes.
So when you are uploading to the server, how do you upload it to the server? Let me see. If you use custom form helper, other call putable.
This is what the function that send it to server. This process upload.
Hold on, just slow down. So I want to share my screen because can you stop sharing your screen? Let me share mine.
Okay.
This one.
So first of all, in this index, I added a few things, but I'm going to come back to what I added. There is this job form sync, which I thought was the one that does some of this thing about. Do you ever call this function process? Is this under the job form sync?
The job form sync will just save the main form and the sub form.
Mm-hmm. And the sub forms. But then you come down here. So down here, you come here and say prepare upload.
Yes, that prepare upload, it will just save it to local storage. And then
local
after
storage.
Yes, then after processing the main form and sub form, it will be called the.
So first of all, this is wrong. That's the first. First of all, these files are not awaited because they are not loading their content at this point. So this shouldn't be awaited. I wrote a number of things out. Let me get my file. Yeah, so this 199 is not awaited. Then this your. So I think that this file objects that you are iterating through here, if not the file from the form. I think you've already saved the file to the backend before you get it to this point.
Wait.
Because it doesn't look like. And if you are not, if you attempt to call this your update object item, which is saving in the backend, will destroy that file because it will save only a string value. So unless you are telling me that you are somehow handling that file before you start processing this job form sync, this is already a problem. If the file is coming in at this point in this function, at least unless I'm getting confused on something, and it makes sense because try and find out first, right? Because I'm going to come back to this. But also for this index, there are a few adjustments I made. So this is where from up here all this way down are all. Wait, sorry, what do I do? Sorry. Okay, from here, from this 172 up is my code. So this is where your own code started. So you guys have this deep clone. I don't know, probably you guys got this from something online.
Before we're using the deep clone because
Yeah, I know. I understand what it does and why you're using it.
But
I'm just
right
saying that
now,
the logic is it.
There's already
I'm not using it anymore.
Yes, the structured clone.
Where is it?
It is now built in on the JavaScript.
Well, JavaScript has a structured clone. So the question is that does. Hello, right there.
Hello.
So. You said there's now a structured clone. Let me Google it. So does structured clone handle custom the structured clone JavaScript? So but how come I still saw you using deep clone in many places? Hello, Gerald.
Hello. I'm not sure because it was already there before I've started here on the JobX. maybe
you cannot say rocket. You cannot say it was already there. You have ownership of this piece of work.
It's also on the web.
I didn't know. By looking at this code, I didn't know a lot of the problem that I'm seeing here was to be, and that's why I said we have to do a restructuring of the web as well. The structured clone, so you must understand the specific job requirement. Many of these structured clones are doing a generic copy, basically similar to what your deep clone is doing. I'm looking at documentation for the structured clone. Clone buffer, you know. In this example, we create a neighbor and then clone the object to the member of. You can use the buffer and clone the buffer. Create an array buffer. Clone the object containing the buffer and transfer. Clone the. Okay, so a structure clone allows you to reconstruct the object from binary data or something like that. More like serialization. That seems to be what it's doing. Okay, it's okay. So the main thing that it supports secular references, because that's what I was going to say, because that was actually what I was going to talk about. So it said it supports secular references, because I had to do an implementation to support secular references, and that's why I came up with this unique ID, unique object IDs. There's a function, if you use a weak map, you can generate some kind of pseudo reference, and that was basically what I was trying to do here, so that you can support. So basically, I rewrote this deep clone. I call it deep clone too, so I don't interfere with you guys. But if you're using structure clone, it seems to be. The only problem I will have with it is that certain structures, it might still not preserve it. Like, I don't know. I have to read it to know if it supports it. But stuff like a file type and this blob, it may not handle it. And so I made special exemptions for them, and I made a special exemption for an X type, and I'm going to explain to you why we did that. Because of what I anticipate will be the problem you would encounter with the file storage. So unless you are, have you been able to find how you handle this file storage in this place? Because the problem is, generally, you know, the file is a stream, the blob stream or whatever it is. You can't store it in the local storage as it is. You have to serialize it to JSON, but it is not serializable. So unless you had previously handled that serialization. Now, I remember we talked about you using a file or storing a reference to the file. But now in hindsight, I don't even know or think, I really don't know if that is a good idea. Because that might just be the reason why we are having the issues we are having. Because permissions might be the thing. Like, it could be anything. I know I had those problems when I was trying to create the logger. The log was working on this job exact, but it was not working on the demo application I was trying to create, you know, for some reason, until I found out I had to enable a certain permission. I think on my project, because I created a brand new project. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hello, Gerald. So, because I'm just thinking through what could actually be causing some of these problems we are having. And you have to think kind of like what is the, look at all the devices. What could be causing the difference? It could be permissions. And the way I'm thinking about it is, it's very possible that maybe when, I really don't know now, maybe the person did not grant permissions for file or whatever it is, I really don't know. But it may just be that, or maybe that the version of iPhone pen permission setting or something like that. But I think it will be better for us to have total ownership of those contents. So rather than saving those files in the local storage, instead of saving those files in the file system and then storing a reference to it, you can save those files in their file system for reference purposes. That's fine. But the one that we are going to use, we need to store them in the index DB. which means that because local storage can obviously not hold that capacity. So I'm thinking that the first thing we need to do is this library that you are using, we have to make sure that it is using IndexedDB and not local storage anymore. I know that you are using a conditional so that if it is available here or not, you know, let's, you get what I mean, right? You saw what I did in the login.
Yes.
Let's know we are working with IndexedDB. Let's forget about local storage. That way, simplify that. So if you need to reconstruct that your storage class, to, you know, to rewrite it so that it will store only on the IndexedDB, that's fine. I don't think we really need that library, that your local forage or whatever it is. You know, we need to keep things real so we know what problems we are trying to deal with. Let's write directly to local storage. Let's initialize whatever let's write directly to the IndexedDB.
Okay.
Let's store those files on IndexedDB. We have ownership of those files. That's what it means. We have ownership of those files. We have control over it. Now, the next question will be, how do you store those files on IndexedDB? That was why I built this class here. I built a class that's, you see, I'll check in this code. So, you know, two things I did in this class was to rewrite this inner clone so that it will take care of cyclic references and also take care of specific data types like blob, file, and, you know, you could also add any other data types. And even some custom data type that have a particular signature. You know, we could create our own extension of data type and still handle it. But this file class was meant to be able to deconstruct a file object and reconstruct it back. So basically, what am I saying? That if you get a file, you can either initialize it with this constructor, or you can just leave the constructor blank. It will still not, it will still work. And then you just call this load file. This will return a promise that will set up the content when the file is loaded. The thing about this class is that this class can be serialized into JSON. If you serialize it in JSON, it will serialize out as a standard JSON with the X type. If you now reconstruct that JSON and try to clone it by calling this my deep clone method, this deep clone method will detect that particular JSON object was actually a file and reconstruct the file object for you along the way. That's what, you know, it's a bit, I don't know how to explain it now, but that is what it is basically doing in this. Let me go back to that reference. That is basically what it's doing in this inner clone method here. When it will detect an X type object in it. Once it detects an X type object, it will call this constructor and pass the data there. This constructor is basically more like a factory class. This is the method here. It's just if the type is a file blob, it just instantiates it and then assigns all the properties to it. So this is it basically allows you, once you get the reference to this file blob, you obviously now have the access to this method. This method will allow you to get the original file back by calling this get file. Get file will return the original, will reconstruct the original file object, which you can submit if you are submitting a file or a form request or whatever. So the whole idea is that it helps you to deserialize that content, save it in the local, in the IndexedDB, and then re-serialize it back to the original content and submit it to the server. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You're out?
Hello. Yes. I'll just test it also once you push it in.
Yes. So it might not be exactly what you need, but it probably gives you an idea of what you can use it to do. I'm just trying to look for the code, trying to figure out why exactly we are having issues with this particular file uploading, form uploading. Every time we're always having, you know, there's always a variation. You know, it will submit duplicate, and then it will tell you cannot load the files. That was one of the problems where, you know, when it showed you, then four files loading and no file is loading. I feel that part of the erratic behavior is probably related to the permissions of the different platforms. And so we want to remove that concern entirely. You know, whether it works, whether it doesn't work, we want to eliminate it entirely. We store purely on the IndexedDB. You can store a copy for them on their file system for purposes of reference or whatever it is. But let us store the full content of the files on the IndexedDB. It's just going to be a temporary. Once the file is completed, it will be deleted anyways. So that way, we know that whenever we affect index DB, we have access to all those records. You know, so I think that is one of the major changes I think we need to see. Then we need to do a review of the code base for the web. If what we had here, if literally what to go by, anything to go by, then I can imagine that there are so many other issues like that on the web. And that's probably why we are seeing the same queue problem, because I don't know, either the reference, I really don't know how that would have been implemented, but I know a lot of those problems might be the async await problem that is causing those things to be out of sync. So we need to clean those ones up, and we need to figure out how this implementation should work. I am still, like, you've not probably convinced me on how you came. Are you able to convince, are you figured out what is happening here now? Are you able to figure out?
No,
upload.
Not yet.
So please take a look at it, because what I'm seeing is not looking good. If you're actually calling this function at this point, then it's already wrong. Because you are basically saying you are loading this file. So apart from the fact that this await here is even wrong. But beyond that, the fact that you are coming here to serialize, you are basically, yes, this is a reference to that file, and then you're calling it, you're setting it inside this, your storage key. You already know what you're doing in this update. You are updating the storage item in that storage. Which means that the moment you store it there, it's going to zero out the content of that file. So it might make, like, the moment I saw that code, it just occurred to me that might be the reason why the file is trying to load and it's telling you can't find, it's not able to load anything because it can't find any content. Because maybe, you are reading it from this storage entity. But by the time you are reading it out, you are just reading an empty string. You are not reading, all the data is lost. So that is essentially why I created that class. So you can you can play around with it and figure out how it works.
Yes, I'm also interested to use that class.
Yeah. So please, I also need you to do a review of the web, like I talked about, and that is a bit urgent, because that probably has to happen before we even do a new release of, because we need to clean up. It's one thing for us to keep on having issues that are reoccurring, another thing for us to have a systematic problem. So we need to clean that up. So whatever fix that has been done now, and I think this also applies to everybody. Noel, the application you built for the orchestration, you also need to look at it. Maybe after you have a conversation with Gerald, if you're also breaking any of those rules, then we need to fix them as well.
Yes.
If you're using async, you must use them correctly, because these are probably causing erratic behavior that are throwing up problems for us everywhere. Okay. These ones look a bit cleaned up, even though there are still a few things around that are out of place. But I can imagine that the web is going to have a whole lot of that as well. So once we've done that, and we can start addressing real problems, because it's very possible that a lot of these problems a lot of these erratic behaviors we are seeing are because of those inconsistencies in the code. So I think that the one of the observations I made. I think there's another one. Then even this your update object item, Gerald, is also wrong. So you call it under this your common. Now under your common, when you do this, for you to send again, I don't know how you are invoking it, but it does not make, I'm wondering why are you sending your notification before you actually update the storage. Do you have a reason why?